My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is devil destruction power.
With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation
of His will for my life.
Whatever says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are continuing in our series of lessons, praying through problems. Praise God. And I'm not going to test you this time because Pastor Steve has appealed to me not to test y'all. I'm not going to test y'all this time. I can't promise next week, but this time. So I'll just tell you the first lesson we learned. We talked about this. We're talking about seven steps in order to pray through your problems. So the first step, if you don't remember, or if you weren't taking notes, or if you just forgot and you left your notes at home, be careful not to make God the source of your problem. Praise God.
Amen.
Or don't blame God. Basically, you can put it just put it in simple terms. Don't blame God. God is not the one who brings you problems. Amen.
Amen.
You've got to learn to stop whenever something happens to you. God, why you let this happen to me? Well, God, why'd you do this? God didn't do it. You live in a fallen world. The Bible says, in the world ye shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The source of your problem is not God. It is the world and the devil who is the prince of this world. Praise God.
Amen.
We looked at a number of scripture on that. We saw that God is on your side. God is for you. He's not against you. He is fighting your battles on your behalf. Glory to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that God is on my side, because if God is my problem, he's the strongest guy in the universe. You hear me?
Yeah.
And there was a play when I was a young kid in the African-American community. They had a play called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God, and there's some truth in that. Because you can't beat God.
No.
You can't beat him. So now the devil, on the other hand, if he's the source of your problem, God has already beaten him. Amen. So if he's the source of your problems, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. Because now, since you're on God's side, you're on the God's side that's bigger than the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, just the other day I was talking to a close friend of mine I grew up with in high school. That we were very close. He's a preacher now too. And you know, this guy, one of the things I loved about him, he was a bully. He used to beat people up. And he beat me up one time. But then me and him became close friends, and because I was associated with him, people wouldn't mess with me because they said, that's Terry's boy. You can mess with him, Terry gonna come at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could walk down the street with my head up high because I said, Terry's my friend. You know, Terry, big football player, he didn't mess around, praise God. I remember I saw him one time. There's a dude who knew who was supposed to be a black belt in karate. And he made Terry mad. And Terry, as far as I know, Terry didn't know no karate, but that dude, he might as well not know karate, because Terry just whooped it, just tore him up. So I said, boy, I'm glad that dude's my friend. But see, it's great when you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because God's rod and his staff, they comfort you. You know that God is with you. You know that in spite of all the attacks that the devil may throw at you, you can deal with them because you've got God on your side. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if God is the one that's against you, you're in trouble. There's just no hope for you. And see, that's why I don't like it when I get so mad at preachers teaching that kind of stuff. Because God is for you, he's not against you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second thing we talked about last week, and we got into very, very much detail on this, is identify the problem accurately. See, a lot of people, they just throw things up to God, asking God to do this and do that, and they don't really know what they really, really need from God. Half time, they don't even know what they need from each other. You know, Do you know that's why when you go to the doctor and you don't know what's wrong with you, the doctor begins asking you a whole bunch of questions? Do you know why the doctor does that? Because he's trying to get you to identify the problem accurately. You're telling him, well, you know, there's a little queasy feeling in my stomach. And then the doctor's going to ask you, well, you know, what have you been eating? What kind of diet do you have? You know, he's going to ask you about the stuff you've been drinking. You know, where have you been eating at? You know, things. He might ask you these type of things because he needs to pinpoint or identify the issue with you so that he can give you the right prescription, praise God. You don't want the doctor to give you headache medicine for a stomach ache, amen?
Amen?
All right, so you have to identify the problem accurately. Too many of God's people are so lazy. We think that God and prayer is just a matter of just jumping down, and sometimes there's nothing wrong with that, praise God. Sometimes you just want to get before God and worship Him and fellowship with Him. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you really need something from God and you really want to get an answer from God, you need to stop being lazy and you really need to evaluate what you need from God before you go before Him. Well, but Brother Troy, God knows everything. So what? God still wants you to know what it is you need from Him, praise God.
Amen.
See, that attitude of God knows everything, so I don't really need to tell Him nothing, is the reason why you don't have anything, praise God.
Amen.
If you follow God's principles, then you will get the things that you want from God, because God is only going to follow the word that He has given you, and He expects you to tell Him what you want, praise God, Amen. And to tell Him accurately what it is that you need. Now, we'll get into, and if you need to really get into the lessons on this, we'll have these lessons up on the webpage as soon as possible. I don't want to go over all the scriptures and stuff again, but let's go into the third thing that you need to do, and this again is dealing with laziness of Christians. The third thing is find a corresponding promise in which God has pledged to deal with the problem. Let me repeat that again. Find a corresponding promise in which God has pledged to deal with the problem. In other words, go into God's word, find out what the word of God says concerning your issue, and then so that you will be able to build your faith and take it before Him, praise God. There's so many scriptures on this that I could spend weeks just teaching this particular point alone, but I will not, so I'm going to just give you just a couple of scriptures. But see, once you've seen that God is not your problem, once you have identified your problem accurately, then you are able to find the scripture. See, if you don't even know what your problem is, or really know what it is, you're not going to find the right scripture that deals with your problem, praise God. So you need to, and also, if you don't think God is on your side, you think God's the one with causing you the problems, why would you want to go to the Bible, to His book, and find an answer to the problems He's the one throwing at you in the first place? Because you have no guarantee that He's going to answer, right? Right?
Yeah.
Of course. So you want to make sure that you know that God is the one for you, not against you. And then you want to find out what your problem really is, and now, after you've really accurately analyzed the situation, you know, I'm a computer specialist, so I'm pretty analytical. So it's not as hard for me as it is probably for many of y'all. But, because many of you are emotional, and there's nothing wrong with that, because God is an emotional God, praise God. But you got to learn to control your emotions, and sometimes you got to learn to analyze things. Hallelujah. All right. You analyze your favorite TV shows. Some of y'all analyze them soap operas. Girl, did you see what Julie did on My Foot Hurts last night? Yeah. Whatever, or whatever your favorite soap is. As My Stomach Turns. Generally Stupid Hospital, or whatever it is you watch. All right. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20 probably is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And this is just another chapter that has so much in it that I could spend weeks breaking down this chapter by itself. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's talking about King Jehoshaphat when he was about to get waxed by several nations. And Jehoshaphat was smart. He said, I can't beat these nations. I got to go to God. I need help. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll start with verse 5. When you have it, say glory to God.
Glory to God.
All right. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5, it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the court of the Lord before the court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Ooh, what a tough God. I'm so glad he's on my side. Hallelujah. Art not thou our God? You need to say, you need to learn to say, that God is my God. Praise God.
Amen.
See, I own him. He owns me. I own him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name, saying, now look at this, saying, Jehoshaphat is about to pray the promises of God. Glory to God. He's talking to God, and he's reminding God of what God had promised through his servants. Praise God. So you go down saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Praise God.
Amen.
So notice what he did. He brought before God his promise. He said that this is what you said. You said that if we stand before, if we're in trouble, if we stand before the sanctuary, you're going to hear us and help us. Praise God.
Amen.
So he's telling God, this is what you said. See, a lot of people don't do that. They don't bother to find out what did God say before they go to God, and that's why they don't have any faith when they're praying. And that's why they always pray those if it be thy will prayers. Well, you know, if it be thy will, O Lord, do this for me. Now, why don't you find out what the will of God is before you pray? Praise God. See, this whole book, remember the confession we always make. We say, you know, God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every day. God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, and so forth and so on. Praise God. I don't make that confession because it sounds cute. Stop making me laugh, y'all. I'm serious now. Anyway, I have y'all make that confession to get that into your spirit, to help you to understand that you need to understand this book as the revelation of God. You need to understand his commandments so you can obey it, and you need to understand those promises so you can claim them. The promises of God are not there for just to sit down and make you feel inspired. The promises of God are there for you to claim and see them manifested physically in your life. Praise God. Thank God that kings like Jehoshaphat knew this, and he began to stand on the word of God. And we go down to verse 10, it says, and now behold. Now, Jehoshaphat is telling God the issue. See, he's already got the promise. He's telling God the issue now. And he's accurately identified the situation. Verse 10 says, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What a wonderful prayer. When I don't know what to do, I take God, his promise, and I say, I don't know what to do, Lord, but make this work. And God is the one that brings it to pass. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. So Jehoshaphat prayed the promise of God, and these things are left in the Bible as examples for you to follow and for you to appropriate in your own life. See, God has these things recorded so that you can know exactly what to do when you're in similar situation. Now, you may not be surrounded by a whole bunch of nations, but you might be surrounded by issues on the job. You may be surrounded by issues in school. You may be surrounded by financial issues. Whatever it is, God has a word to help you. Praise God. Now, you know, I got friends who are into the end times teachings, you know, the and they are, you know, they're listening to the stuff online and they're reading all these books and stuff, and they're really, really deep into it. And some of them, you know, they don't want to go to church anymore or anything, and here's the reason why. They say because the churches are not preaching on these things. Don't you know that there's a disaster coming? Don't you know that the economy is about to be destroyed? Don't you know that America's coming under persecution? And you guys are just sitting up there preaching all this other stuff. Let me tell you something, baby. I know that there's an end time coming, praise God. I know that that disaster's coming upon America. But my Bible says that God is still on my side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when the end times come, when disaster strikes America, when they start threatening Christians and wanting to arrest Christians, you need to know this truth I'm teaching you right now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When the Nephilim and the trans whatever these things are that some of my friends talk to me about, whatever these things are, I agree with them. I believe all these things, but I don't get caught up in it because I believe that my God shall supply all my need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling people not to go buy seeds and stock up on, you know, all their canned goods and get their rifles and all that stuff that everybody's telling me I got to do. I'm telling you that I, in spite of all this, I am going to trust God when trouble comes. Praise God.
Amen.
Because I'm going to be armed with his promises. I am armed with the word of God. And so when the trouble strikes this country, the best thing to do is to know this type of truth that you can take God's word and stand on it. Praise God.
Amen.
And when you start memorizing the word of God, then when they do start taking our Bibles away, you'll still have the word of God inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they took my Bible today, I can still quote the word of God. The devil can't, he can take this physical book, but he can't take what's in my heart. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Every time I've been in a dire situation, scripture has come out of me that I hadn't read in a long time. It will come out of me, and I will begin to quote the word of God, and the devil has to let loose and let go. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So this is the kind of stuff you really need to learn. You know, as a matter of fact, the Lord was dealing with me this morning and told me, I want you to start a video series on a faith-based end times message. I said, I'm going to do that. Because, we don't want to get in fear over trouble. We don't want to get in fear over problems. We need to have faith whenever we're going through a situation. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Fear is not of God. If anybody's preaching and teaching you and they're scared you have death, that ain't from God. Teaching and preaching is supposed to build your faith. Is your faith being built up right now?
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to Jesus.
Amen.
Turn with me to Genesis 32. I'm going to show you another example. This is Jacob. Jacob was in trouble. I don't know how many of y'all have read through Genesis, and you've ever read the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a sneaky little dude. And to make a long story short, he cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance. And Esau said, I'm going to kill him. So, just to make it plain and simple, Esau said, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
And so, Jacob took that threat seriously. Him and his mom took it seriously, and she told him, she said, boy, you need to get out of town right now. And so he ran. So he ran, smart like a smart man ran. He ran to his uncle Laban, and then his uncle Laban cheated him. Exactly, Pastor Barry. What goes around comes around. That which you sow, that shall you also reap. That is teaching throughout the Bible. Now the Buddhists call it karma. You know, that the Buddhists I don't believe in their religion, but there is some truth to what they say when they say karma, praise God.
Amen.
It's just in Christianity, it's a law that says whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You sow seed, you reap the harvest that you plant. Jeremiah said it this way, you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. No glory to God. But anyway, so afterwards, he had to leave his uncle Laban before his uncle Laban messed him over. So he left, and he left with the caravan and his wife and kids and cattle and all that stuff. And then his brother Esau had banned a whole bunch of people and was going to meet him. Now, Jacob's scared. I would be scared too if I was him. Praise God. After you done cheated the boy out of his inheritance.
He was a hunter.
He was a hunter, and Jacob at that time was a kitchen boy. So, you know, Jacob was in trouble, basically, or he felt he was. So we get here to Genesis chapter 32, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. He's praying to God. He says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 is the one I really want you to know. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob prayed the word of God. He remembered the promise that God had given to him, and he began to remind God of that promise. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Even if you have to open your Bible and say, God, this is what you said right here, and I'm bringing this to you. I believe what you say. Make it happen in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
So, but you got to pray the promises of God. If you got a computer, get online, download that eSword program. If you don't have it, I'll show you how to get it. Download some of these programs in which you can look up verses, which you can look up, you can take a word and it'll show you all the different verses on that thing. But you need to get into the Word of God and find out what it says about your situation. If you can get some of these books, there's one of my favorite books is Prevailing. Prayers That Prevail. It has a whole bunch of different prayers dealing with different issues, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can get some of these different books. We're going to buy some and put them in the back, but you can get books and stuff that will help you to pray in line with God's word, but you need to learn to put this into practice. I'm telling you, this is the reason why I can say that I have had victory in my life these past almost 30 years of walking with the Lord, praise God. In July, it'll be 30 years. It'll be my new birthday in July 22nd.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think I'm going to celebrate it. But at 30 years of walking with the Lord, have I wanted to backslide many times? Have I backslidden? I sure did. I wasn't a perfect Christian, but I tell you what, I've stuck with it. I've stuck with the ministry because of this book. Because of his promises. I brought his promises before him, and he has never, ever yet failed me. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, I learned not to be lazy. I learned to first find out, what is my situation? What am I really dealing with? And then I learned to find out, well, what does God say about that situation? And then I go in here and I get that thing and I take it before my Father, praise God. And I tell you, he's never failed me yet. Now, sometimes he's taking a long time. I mean, some long time. You know, like, you know, I know you're going to do this, but, you know, can you put a little rush on it? I tell you, my God has never, ever failed. Now, Every promise from God, if you are taking notes, you really need to write this down. Every promise from God contains within itself its own seed for fulfillment. Let me say that again, because this is profound and you really need to understand this. Every promise from God contains within itself its own seed for fulfillment. For example, think of an apple tree. You can't get an apple tree from an orange seed, can you?
No.
You can't get a cherry tree from an apple seed, can you?
No.
No. The cherry seed is the thing that will produce the cherry tree. The apple seed is the seed that will produce the apple tree. Praise God. The grape seed is the seed that will produce the grapevine. The watermelon seed is the seed that will produce the watermelon vine. Every seed contains within itself its own fulfillment. And so that is the same thing with every promise from God. So when you are looking for God to do something in your life, for example, you need God to heal your body. The last thing you need to do is go to scriptures that talk about financial prosperity, amen? You need healing scriptures, praise God. If you are suffering from trials and tribulations, then you need the scriptures that deal with how to overcome in those areas. That's not the time to be studying on eschatology. That means end time events for those of y'all who aren't as cultured and smart as I am. I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's look at chapter 8, excuse me. I know sometimes in these things that I get into a lot of detail. Matter of fact, some of the people that listen to my messages online, they tell me, one of my pastor friends, she told me, she said, "You're a very detailed person." But the thing is that I don't want y'all to miss any of this truth. I want y'all to really grasp this and understand it. So sometimes I have to explain it to you in full detail. But I think that most of y'all are here and you stay here because you really want to receive the full truth. Praise God. Amen. I know Mother has said that, and I've heard others of you say that. And so therefore... That's why we try to explain this to you in as much detail as possible so you can grasp it, understand it, and apply it. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 is... it says, we just want to read this one line. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
I just want y'all to see that God's word is a seed. And a seed, God created seeds and made them powerful. I mean, think about it. Little teeny weeny apple seed. You plant it and it sprouts this big tree full of delicious, luscious fruit. And notice that when you plant that seed, it produces a lot more than what that little seed does. That works positively and negatively. You wonder why you get in more trouble when all you did was do one little small thing. But remember, what did Jeremiah say? You sowed to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. But we're gonna stay on the positive side of this right now.
Yeah.
So this God's word is a seed. And you need to get that into your head, because as you get into the word of God and you begin to take the word before God, you are planting seed. When you're in financial distress and you are talking to God about your financial needs, and you say, "God, I paid my tithes, I've given my offerings," and you said in your word, you said in Malachi chapter 3 that if I were to give my tithes and my offerings, you said that you would open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive, and that you will rebuke the devourer for my sake. And when you take that before God, you are planting seed that's about to bring you a harvest. Praise Jesus. Amen. You are opening the windows of heaven because God is saying, ooh, my son and my daughter got some faith. Let me open these windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing. They won't have room enough to receive. Look at that. God's word is a seed, and it produces a harvest. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, begin at verse 23. It's right after the book of James, and it's right before 2 Peter. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So again, this is just teaching you that God's word is a seed. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, it first happened by somebody giving you the word of God. Mm-hmm. See, you didn't get saved on your own. Maybe I'm wrong. How many of y'all got saved after a bright light came down from heaven and you heard a voice that says, I died for you. You need to give your life to me. How many of y'all got saved after that happened? None of y'all? Nobody? That happened to? Didn't happen to me either. I had people had to give me the word of God. I remember I was walking down on one of the red light districts, you know, about to do something bad. And yes, I wasn't saved all my life, y'all, okay? And some guys walked up to me and began to talk to me about Jesus. They was giving me the word of God. Now, I didn't give my life to the Lord that night, but they planted seed in me. See, because after that, first of all, I felt guilty, so I didn't do what I was going to do. I went back home. Then after that, every day, I would wake up with this fear of going to hell. And I would pray and I'd say, God, I don't want to go to hell. Please don't let me die. But I'm not ready yet. But don't let me die. Y'all did not take that to make me laugh. But I didn't give my life to Christ immediately. But the seed of the word of God was planted in me. And it took about a year and a half to 2 years, but a harvest was produced, praise God.
Amen.
And one day, July 22nd, 1984, I stood before the altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ, praise God.
Amen.
And I decided after that, I said, I ain't turning back no more. I'm not turning back. This man, he's been so good to me. He's been good to me. So I'm staying with him, praise God. Hallelujah. But somebody had to first plant seed in me. Somebody else had to water the seed. I had other people. Dennis Mendoza, I'll never forget him, a Filipino guy who was strong Christian and lived in the same dormitory I lived in when we were in Japan. Man kept, he never gave up on me, kept telling me the truth, kept sharing with me the word of God. And sooner or later, that seed took harvest and grew in me. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So the seed is God's word, and it produced in all of you who are born again, it produced a new birth in you. Well, that same word of God that produced the new birth in you can produce other things in you. It can produce your financial prosperity. It can produce your physical healing. It can produce your peace. It can produce your joy. It can produce everything that you are needing. God has a seed for you right here. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let me show you a couple more scriptures because I just want you to see that God's word produces what it says. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Read just a couple more scriptures and we're going to close out. And while we're looking, I just want to remind y'all that next week is begins the 2-week fasting and prayer. Beginning next Sunday, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. And when I say fast, I don't mean you got to not eat the whole 2 weeks, okay? Because some of y'all, I know y'all can't handle, you go about 2 hours, you're like, oh God, I can't do this. So, fasting, there's several types of fasts. There's the complete fast. You can do it 2 weeks without eating and you'll still live. Amen. Matter of fact, the human body can go 90 days without food. It can only go 7 days without water. So please drink water. Please. Don't kill yourself. But you can go if you want to. I'm going to probably be doing a morning till 4 o'clock fast for the most part. But you can decide, okay, I'm just going to abstain from meats during this fast and just eat vegetables. Or you can abstain from, you know, your sugar snacks. Matter of fact, I guarantee if you abstain from the sugar snacks, you won't go back to them after 2 weeks. I guarantee it. And you won't. And after you see how good you look in the mirror, you're going to say, man, I ain't touching that stuff ever again. But you can abstain from soda and stuff like that. You know, make whatever you can do. Fast during that time, amen? Mm-hmm. Fast the best you can. I'm just asking you to fast something. Give up something. Make some sacrifice for the Lord. And God blesses when you make sacrifice because he sees that you're serious. Why is it? I never understood, and I still can't fully explain why fasting added to prayer brings more power to prayer, but I just see that it does. I see that when I'm fast, if I'm praying, it takes longer for certain things to happen. But when I add fasting to it, I see some power from God. I see things happen. So that's why we need to fast. All right, that was an addendum. Let's get back into this. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Notice that word, after his kind, praise God. Whose seed, look at that, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Remember what we said? We said that let me read it again, because the word of God is a seed, but we also said that every promise from God contains within itself its own seed for fulfillment. Praise God. Verse 12, it goes on to say, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So you see that when God designed the system, he designed that every seed would produce its own thing. The apple tree would produce its own apple tree. The grape seed would produce its own grapevine. The watermelon seed would produce its own watermelon. The same thing works in the spiritual realm. The word of God is the seed, and the particular promise that you are claiming will produce the fruit that you need in your life. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he began in verse 7, he says that if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what ye will and it shall be done for you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear fruit. Your prayer is supposed to produce fruit. Your prayer is supposed to produce something. Your prayer is not to go before God and just say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder how you are. Mm-hmm. And not expect anything from God. When I go to prayer, I'm not wasting my time. I am expecting something, praise God. Mm-hmm. I get up very early in the morning to spend time with God. So I expect, and although I do it because I love him, I'm also expecting him to do some things, praise Jesus. If not, I need to sleep an extra hour. Because I get tired. Man, because when I do get up in the morning, I usually get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm like, God, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't feel like praying. I want to sleep another 30 minutes. But I get up and I pray anyway, praise Jesus. I discipline myself. And so I'm expecting God to do things. And I'm praying his word before him, and I'm expecting him to make his word happen in my life. Now let's look at two more passages of scripture. Isaiah 55. God's word is guaranteed to produce the thing that he sent it to. It's guaranteed to bring forth the results that it actually promises. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. There's so many more scriptures I could show you on this. Maybe we'll do another series one day on this thing. Matter of fact, you're guaranteed to have another series on this because y'all easily forget, don't you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know why? Because I easily forget too. So we're human. So sometimes we have to hear it over and over and over again. Isaiah 55, verses 10, begin at verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word," look at that, God's word compared to seed again, "so shall my word be that going forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." Oh, but look at this. "But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's word is guaranteed to produce the thing that it promises. Praise God.
Amen.
It is guaranteed. God says, "My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish the thing that I sent it to." It's guaranteed to happen in your life. If you trust me, it will happen. But God, why is it taking so long? Because it's a seed.
It has to grow.
That's right. It has to grow. It has to grow. You have to, you know, the farmer. See, farmers know this stuff. That's why farmers probably make better prayer warriors than we do. The farmer knows that when he plants, he ain't going to go out there 3 hours later and see a harvest. He knows it's going to take a season. He knows it's going to take weeks. It's going to take months before he sees any results of his hard work. But he continues to do it because he knows that when he plants that seed and he takes care of it and he does it right, he knows it's guaranteed to produce that harvest. Praise God.
Amen.
We've got to learn to be like the farmer. We've got to learn to plant the seed and then not get mad at God and then uproot the seed by our bad confession. "Well, I guess God ain't going to do it for me. I prayed and I spent 3 hours and he still ain't come through yet." No. You are such a rock. Such a steady person. No, you stand on the word of God. If it takes days, if it takes weeks, if it takes months, continue to stand on the word of God. Say, "I planted my seed. I'm expecting a harvest," praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you're in the midst of trouble, remember, trouble don't last always. But you got to, if you want to see God give you victory in your problems, you've got to plant that seed. Let's look at one more passage, Psalm 107. Turn backwards. Psalm 107. Begin at verse 17. It says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." You know why many of us are afflicted? Because of, yes, you are. That's right. Yes, was that Ronyo?
No, it was y'all.
Oh, it was y'all.
Yeah. <Yeah.
laughs> All right. Y'all, you get an A. Run you up because you want the answer, you get a B minus. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you making this happen to me?" It ain't God. It's you. Many times, we bring problems on ourselves. Remember what we said? Sow to the wind, you reap what? You reap the whirlwind. Their soul abhorreth all, verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And look at how merciful God is. See, when you're in trouble, when you're having problems, it doesn't matter, even if you were the one who messed up. Don't say, well, okay, I screwed up, so I guess God ain't going to help me. No! That's the time to really run to him. Father, I repent. I confess my sin before you. Now I'm in trouble. Help! How many of y'all would help your kids even if they was the ones who did something stupid? I know I would. And I have. Praise God. I let them learn their lesson. I let him learn his lesson. I let him suffer. And then when I felt he was ready, I brought him back home. Praise God. I said, now, and then he came to me and said, Dad, I learned a lot. I said, boy, that's why I didn't run after you. I said, I wanted to wait for you to get ready. And then you come home. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you don't and God, he'll let you stay and wallow in that mess until you cry out to him. And then when you cry out to him, he's such a loving God. He's such a loving, loving God. He don't beat you down and say, see, it's because of what you did. That's why you in it. So you made that bed, you lie in it. No. God says, all right, you suffered enough. Come on. Praise God. Amen. What a merciful God. What a merciful God. I'm telling you, I love him. Then cry unto the Lord in their troubles, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Now look at this. Verse 20 is what I really wanted to get to. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Praise God. Amen. See, they cried out to him. He gave them his word. His word, the word of God, is what saved them. The word of God is what healed them. The word of God is what delivered them out of the problems and the situations that they were encountering. Praise God. Amen. And so that's why I'm showing you this, because you got to stop being lazy. You've got to get into the word of God. You've got to make up your mind that I'm going to take time to study this book. I'm going to take time to research this book. I'm going to take time to find out what this book has to say about me. I'm not going to keep always crying, going to God and say, oh, God, help me. I don't know what to do. There's a time for that. You know, I've done that. I've done that so many times. Even yesterday, I was working on the car. You know, I was trying to be a mechanic and was doing a lousy job of it. And the screw was stuck. And I just began to say, God, this thing's stuck. And my back's hurting. Can you please work a miracle and loosen this screw? You know what God did? He said, you got the wrong size thing on your ratchet. Go over there and get me. I put the right one that God told me to put on there. Screw got loose. See, you got to identify the problem accurately. But praise God. But you know, you take the time out, seek God for wisdom, amen. Find out what his word says, and he'll bless you. Praise God. Amen. 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 Did you get anything out of this today? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. How many of y'all going to learn to get into God's word now and find out what it says about your situation? Amen. Amen. Some of y'all probably been doing that already and say, thank you, Pastor, for the reminder. Praise God. Happy to remind you. Others of you, you heard it before, but you forgot. And some of you, this is new to you. But good. This is a teaching ministry, a teaching church, and this is how we learn. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes.